got your Bible, let's hold it up, make the confession of our faith. Let me give you a golden nugget. The quality of your confession will determine the quality of your faith. I have to have highly developed confession before I have a highly developed faith. What do you mean by that? I can't talk negative and have strong faith. I can't talk doubt and lack and sick and selfish and sorrowful and have strong faith. I have to have a highly developed confession, vocabulary, before I have a highly developed faith. So that's why your pastor who loves you pesters you before I preach every time. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to be pestered? This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you give God your best shout? Amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible with me. Boy, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit here today. If you don't feel it, your fire, your furnace isn't lit. Amen. So look at Matthew chapter 7. We're finishing a series on how to build your life on God's Word. How to build your life on God's Word. I want to help you have a more of a working of the Word of God in your life. It's no fun to go to church and church not work for you. I've been there. It's no fun to go to church and go one way and leave the same way. It's no fun. Religion is no fun. Just going to church and hearing a message week after week and then not changing me is no fun. Going to church and all your life and struggling, and I know people like this, they struggle with the same struggles, is no fun. It's a terrible life. That's not the life God has for you and me. God wants you and I to live a blessed, abundant, fruitful life, 30, 60, and 100 fold. He doesn't want us to walk in defeat. He wants us to walk in victory. How do we get the Bible off the page in our heart and through our hands? How do we get it to work? How do we get a working knowledge of the Word of God? That's what this whole month has been about, on how to build your life on the Word of God. And so we got our name, let's just start here. We got the name of our church 34 years ago from this passage. If you're new to our church, welcome. We're so glad you're here and planted here. Come hell or high water, stay planted here. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, we got our name. How did you get this name, Church on the Rock? Is it Church of the Rocks? No. Is it Rock Church? No. It's Church on the Rock. How do we get that name? Here's how we got it. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings. The sayings here are referenced to the Bible, the Word of God. Therefore, whosoever heareth, everyone say heareth. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth, everyone say doeth. So what I've been trying to do, and you've been praying for me, and today I want to make it real simple as we conclude, on how do you hear and do the Word of God? Because a lot of people will go to church week after week, struggle, get nothing out of it, drop out, and backslide. A lot of people start out right, but they don't end up right. Can I have a witness in the house? You know, two people can go through the same thing, one get better, one get bitter. I've watched it all my life. I've been in church all my life. And so how do you not just be a hearer, how do you become a doer? Because we're not blessed in hearing. Oh, I went to church, did you? Yeah. What'd you get? Can't remember. Then you wasted your time. Right. You wasted your time. You should always go to church to learn. You should always believe for at least one take away. You should prepare your heart before you come, before you ever leave the house. You should praise and worship the Lord. Get your house in order before you ever get to God's house. Then you get more out of God's house. My father taught me that growing up by example as a little kid. So here we see, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, everyone say hearing, and doing. So I'm not blessed in hearing. The Bible says I'm blessed in doing. So until I know how to make it work, until I know how to take it off the page, get it in my heart and on the streets, I'm not going to be blessed. Until I know how to make it alive in my life, make it manifest in my life, have a working knowledge. How do you get the word to work? How do you get results? Until I become a doer of the word, I'll never have that. I'll never be blessed. So I want you and me not only to be hearers, but I want us to be doers. I want us to know the process on how to put the word to work in every area of your life so you'll have a victorious life. So he said, those who hear and do them, I'll liken them to a wise person. And that's who I'm looking at today, wise people. A wise person who built their house, here's where we got the name of our church, built their house not on the rocks, but on the rock. Built their house on the rock. What is the rock? The word of God. Yes, the rock is Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. I understand that. But the word, the Bible says in the beginning it was the word, and the word was God, and the word, Jesus, became flesh. So we can also say that you build your house on the word of God. Now, a lot of people start out with that, but they don't end up with that. They backslide. Where are all those folks? Don't know, Pastor, can't find them. Because they never learned how to apply it. They never learned how to do it. Because I'm not blessed in hearing it. Hearing it, not doing it, will frustrate me, deceive me, and cause me to quit eventually when the storms of life come. But if I learn how to apply it, how to make it simple and practical and apply it, storms will come. Not if, but when, right, church? They will come, but you'll be stable, unshakable. That what caused others to quit will motivate you to run faster. You know, you've all heard the story and the testimony of Michael Jordan. And when he got up one day years ago to celebrate all of his accolades, he had a list of the people who told him he could never make it. And he read that off, you know, this teacher, this coach, this friend, this person, all through junior high and high school that said, you'll never make it. He read off the list and he said, those people motivated me to be my very best. So storms can make you bitter or they can make you better. Amen. So he says, you build your house upon the rock. Verse 25, the rains are going to come. The storms are going to come. The floods, winds are going to blow and they're going to beat on your house. But because you're not just a hearer, you are a doer. Every time you come to church, you look for one takeaway from me, God's word, to apply immediately. So when the storms come, you respond differently. It's not what happens to us because life happens. It's how we respond to what happens to us. Amen? So then he goes on and says, verse 26, here's a different kind of person who doesn't come to our church. And this person, they hear the word of God, but they don't do them. They're like unto a foolish man or woman. We don't have any of those. They're at a church down the street. Build their house on the sand, okay? Next verse, what's going to happen? Same rain, same wind, same flood. Beat that house. That house is going to fall. Did they go to church? Yeah. Did they hear the word? Yeah. Could they quote scripture? Yeah. But were they applying it? No. Because the Bible says, if I hear it and do it, storms, the devil on his best day won't rock your world, won't blow you down, won't cause your house to crash, won't cause you to give up, won't cause you to backslide, won't cause you to get offended, say, I'm leaving, I'm quitting church. Folks, if I were going to quit every time I got offended, I'd quit every Monday morning. Come on, somebody. We can all identify, right? We're going to get offended. We just don't stay offended. Well, somebody said something made me mad. Well, hoopy ding dong. Join the human race. Come on, everybody. Oh, my goodness. Let's be Christians. Christians forget. Christians forgive. Christians get over it. Christians get stronger. Christians act like Christ. Amen. All right. So great was the fall of that house. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended his teaching, the people were amazed at his doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. All right, Pastor, so how do you hear and how do you do the Word of God? All right, let's look at it. Scripture, they taught me in college. Scripture, interpret Scripture. Scripture, interpret Scripture. And let's find out how to become a doer. Mark chapter 4, would you go there with me? The parable of the sower sows the seed. Mark 4, verse 14. Now, family, this is a parable that you need to understand. The sower sows the seed. Jesus, not Pastor Blunt, Jesus said, this is the greatest parable of all parables. Jesus said that if you understand this parable, you will understand how God operates. If you understand the pattern and the principles in this parable, you'll understand how to get the word to work in your life, this parable. So let's look at it. We're going to go through it real quickly, but let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Y'all ready? Verse 4:14, and the sower soweth the word. So the sower is you and I, right? And it says sows the seed. The seed is what? The word of God. Let's get this now. The sower is the person speaking the word. The seed is the word of God. And the soil is the heart of man, right? It's the heart of man. Now we got four types. Everyone say four. We have four types of hearts or soil or ground in this parable. Now remember, Jesus said, he said, if you understand this parable, you can unlock all the other parables in the Bible. All right? So let's look at it. And there are these by the wayside when they heard the word that was preached or taught. Everyone say wayside. So the first type of a human heart or soil, or the condition of our heart, is called wayside. I grew up in Iowa. Both of my grandparents were farmers. I would go stay with them in the summer. They raised hogs and cattle and corn and beans and all kinds of things and sheep. And I can remember with my grandfather riding on the tractor, his John Deere tractor. I can remember with the plow or the planter. He would go down the rows, and at the end of the row, you had to turn around and you had to go back. It was called the turnaround row, or it was called the wayside ground. Because it got hardened each time the tractor would run over at the end of the row and turn around. And if any seed fell on there, it wouldn't get planted because the wayside ground was packed and hardened. So it says the wayside ground. Now, everybody in this room, your heart is in one of these four conditions. Everybody in this room, your heart is in one of these four conditions. And it says the wayside ground heard the word, but Satan came before they got out of church. That's what this means. Satan came immediately. Last time I looked, all you English teachers met immediately. So Satan comes before I get done teaching, or whoever's teaching, to the wayside ground. It says the wayside ground, they heard it, but Satan comes immediately to take away what? The word. What is the number one thing the devil's after in your life today? The word of God, not your praise and worship. He's after the word of God. The number one thing he's after is to take the word out of your heart. He doesn't want it to be planted, because if it gets planted, you'll become a doer. And you become a doer, you'll live an abundant life. And the goodness of God in your life will draw sinners to repentance. And Satan doesn't want that. So he's going to come immediately to do what? To steal the word. How do you know if you're in the right church? My kids love it. No. Are you fed? Are you fed? Because your kids will go where you go. And if you get something and you teach them, then they'll get something and they'll be taught. The parent is responsible for the child. And the child is not to lead the parent. The parent is to lead the child. I've lived it. You've seen it. I have it. All right, so look what he says. Satan comes immediately to take away the word which was sown in their heart. And these are they likewise on stony ground. Everyone say stony ground. This is the second type of ground. This is the second type. And these are they which are on stony ground when they have heard the word. Now notice, they're hearing the word, right, church? Nothing to say about doing it yet. They're hearing the word. They heard the word. How does faith come? It comes by hearing, right? But you're not going to be blessed in hearing. You're going to be blessed in doing. And Satan's going to come between the hearing and the doing to get you mad, get you offended, get you disappointed, get you depressed, get you weary, get you impatient, to stop standing and believing on the Word of God. And what? He's going to steal that Word out of your heart. You won't be a doer, and you won't be blessed. Amen. This is how it works. This is how you build your life on the Word of God. And he heard the Word. Immediately they received it with what? Gladness. How do you know if you've received something from church, you should be happy that you went to church? You should be happy. If I came sad, I leave mad, you got diddly squat. And I got diddly squat because of the condition of my heart. Amen. And somebody I'm making mad right now, and that tells you, you got a bad condition of heart. Amen. You got to love your pastor if you want to get to heaven. Hallelujah. Verse 17, and had no root in themselves, so they endure but for a time. They endure but for a time. Now, notice the first was wayside, the second was stony, and the stony ground, they heard it, and they got excited about it, but they had no depth, so they endured before a time. Afterwards, why they give up? Because affliction, persecution, a tough day, a rough day, arise for their color of their skin, economic status, education degrees. No, it came for the word's sake, and immediately they got ticked off. Oh my goodness. So what stopped that person from being blessed? They're not a doer. They heard it sure enough, but between hearing and doing, they got offended and they gave up and they plucked up the seed that was sown in their heart. They got offended. They didn't endure. Everyone say endurance. I'm listening to an Audible book right now called Endurance. It just came out. For those of you who are in business, I would encourage you, kingdom builders, great resource, is an Audible book on Audible. It's called Endurance. It's not written by, but the foreword is by Malcolm Gladwell. And the whole book is about the power and the spirit of endurance. But they look at runners, world-class runners, and they look at all this data and all this information of what produces endurance in world-class runners. And they've come to the conclusion that their endurance is a secular book now, that their endurance is connected to their thoughts, is connected to their mind. Isn't that an amazing parallel? Because you and I then, I liken that spiritual. If I'm going to endure, if I'm going to finish this race, I better be in mind renewal every day of my life. I better be building my life on the Word of God. I better be with Pastor going through the I got this in here, didn't I? The chronological Bible. We're in Leviticus, by the way. Hang in there. We'll get through Leviticus. It was kind of nasty this morning, praise God. I was eating my eggs and having my muffin and having my banana, and I'm listening to Leviticus, and praise the Lord. The images that came to my mind in Leviticus, amen. So notice here that he says they endure for a while, but they give up. Why? Because things got hard, and they got offended, and they gave up. Then it goes on down, and these are they which are on thorny ground. They hear the word. So we have wayside, we have stony, we have thorny. They hear the word, but the cares of the world come in. The deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. Notice this now, the cares of the world, that would be pressure and stress, right? Deceitful of riches, deceitfulness of riches, that'd be wrong priorities, right? We're not on this earth to make money. Amen. We're on this earth to build the kingdom of God. Yeah, and then it says other things, lust of other things, other priorities. Don't have time for church, don't have time to serve, don't have time to serve God, put first God, take my family, don't have time. So what happens? It chokes the word. Now remember, those who build their house on the rock have to know how to hear the word and have to know how to apply the word. And this parable is all about what stops, what stagnates, what detours people from going to church, hearing it, and never applying it, and see the benefits of it. It shows us what to look for, what to look out for, what to avoid. So guess what? I'm not going to get offended today. Say it with me. I am not going to be trapped, tripped up over an offense. Say it with me, I am not going to give up no matter how hard it gets. Ooh, give yourselves a hand clap. Glory to God. And it says the cares of the world and the deceitful of riches and the lust of other things choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. And these are they that are sown on good ground. Say it with me, I am good ground. Sown on good ground. That means you prepare for church before you come to church. That means you know that you could get offended, you could get hurt, you could get weary, you could get tired, you could give up, but you're not going to. You know what to look for, you know the traps, you know the potholes, you know the obstacles, and you're not going to fall for it. Amen. Because you want to hear and do. Every time you go to church, you want to look for one principle to take away to apply immediately in your life. If not, you'll be frustrated with church and Christianity. So it goes on to say, and these are they which are sown on good ground. They what? Hear the word, receive the word, and bring forth. They do the word. And what happens? You can look forward to a church 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Notice that our faith grows in degrees. Our faith grows in degrees. And all of us in this room, none of us are on the same level of faith, because your walk with God is a personal walk with God. Amen. This is huge. Don't miss this. So what you're going through today, it's subject to change. What you're going through today, this too shall pass. What you're going through today, you hang in there, stand on the word, speak the word, act on the word, and tomorrow is going to be better for you than today. Because your faith grows in degrees. Your faith grows in degrees, but watch this now. You lose your faith in degrees. You lose your faith in degrees. You ever watch people, now don't take this wrong because our church, I mean, I get it, but you ever take this wrong when people, you know, they come Sunday, Saturday, and Wednesday, get saved. Ooh, glory to God. And then, you know, I can't come Saturday. And then, you know, I'm too busy on Wednesday. I understand. And then, you know, on Sunday, maybe once a month, Pastor, I'm busy. And they were sitting in the front. Now they're sitting in the back. What's happening? They're losing by degrees their faith. Doesn't happen overnight, it happens over time. And they think they can be gone for 3 weeks and stay the same. No way. I'm going to speak a little Spanish. Jose. No way. Jose. You can't stay away from church or the Word of God for 2 or 3 weeks and say you're at the same level. None of us stay at the same level. We're either growing our faith in degrees or we're losing our faith in degrees. You ever heard that story of Peter walking on the water? Peter was a water walker, right in the Bible. Remember they were out in the boat and Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. If it's you, bid me to come. What'd Jesus say? Come. What'd Peter do? Got out of the boat. What'd he do? Walked on the water. Right, church? Walked on the water. But you ever think about this? He walked on the water, and then he began to look at the waves. Got his eyes off the Lord. Got his eyes off the word come. You see, our heart, if you're a note taker, our heart should be full of the word. You got to stay full of the word. Got to stay full of the word. Got to stay full. I said full, not empty, half empty. Got to stay full of the word. Your mind, number two, has got to be focused on the word, focused on the word. And number three, your mouth has got to be flowing with the word. Those three things will give you victory and abundant life. Now watch this. Our faith grows in what? Degrees. But we lose our faith in degrees. Oh, I can skip church for 3 weeks, no big deal. I can skip my Bible for 3 days, no big deal. Over a period of time, you'll lose your faith in degrees. Watch this now. Peter is walking on the water. Can we all agree, folks? That's what the Bible says. But he began to look at the waves. And notice this now. It says he began. He began to sink. You ever think about that? What's the big deal, Pastor? No, think. Put your hat on. Revelation. He began. It didn't say he sunk. You get the picture in your head? You know what he was doing? When he says he began to sink, it means he did this. I was just in San Diego, out on the beach, next to the ocean, and guess what? I tried walking on the water. It didn't work. And guess what? I go out there, and I just, boom, sunk, okay? But notice, Peter, you lose your faith in degrees. Can't afford not to read my Bible. Can't afford to miss church. Can't afford to stop my devotions with my family. Now, when it means he began to sink, this is what it means. gradually. He didn't go poof, gradually. That's a miracle in itself right there. So what does that teach us? You grow your faith in degrees, but you lose your faith in degrees. We're talking about how to build your life on the Word of God. And this parable tells us how we go from the hearing to the doing and what stops people. We're so-and-so. Well, they were wayside ground. What happened to so-and-so? They were thorny ground. What happened to that? They got offended. What happened to that person? They got stressed out. What happened to that person? Bad things happened. They blame God. Let's make it practical, family. So what are we going to do? We're going to hear it and we're going to do it, right? Now, let me give you two or three things here real quick. Look with me, if you would, in your Bible, or you can just look on the overheads, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now, as you're going to Mark chapter 4, I want you to put your spiritual ears on because this is so powerful. I'm going to read it fast, okay? Well, you'll be out of here before the Baptists get the buffet line. And we love the Baptists. I married a Baptist lady. Okay, praise God. Mark 4:35. Y'all ready to get some more revelation? Yeah. Okay, here we go. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Jesus is saying to the disciples, let us pass over to the other side. Whatever you're in today, God's going to take you to the other side. He said, let us go to the other side. Next verse, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Jesus was in the ship, and there also with him other little ships. Next verse. And there came a great storm. Man, has God ever told you something and then what happened next was not what he told you? Has God ever given you a promise and the promise he gave you was not what happened next? What happened next was a problem. Problem always comes before the promise. God gave him a promise, but then what followed? A storm. If you're not founded and grounded on the rock, you'll get angry, upset, and you will give up. So he says, and there came a great storm of wind and beat against the ship, and now it's full of water. Verse 38. And he was in the back part of the ship asleep in a pillow. Wow, you talk about peace, the Prince of Peace, in the middle of a storm. And they awoke him and they said to him, Master, don't you care? We're dying, dude. We're dying out of here. Don't you care? Wake up, Rabbi! Come on, where are you? Don't you know we're in a storm? Don't you know what's going on? They wake him up and he arose. He what? You can speak to the wind? Woo! You can speak to the wind. And he spoke to the sea and Jesus said, peace, be still. You speak what you want, not what you're experiencing. You speak what you want, not what you're experiencing. And the wind ceased and there was a great peace, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you cats so fearful? How is it that you have what, church? No faith. Okay, if you're a note taker, write this down. I want to know when I'm getting off track. I want to know when I have I'm stumbling over myself. How about you? I think you do. I want to come to church and I want to be encouraged, empowered, and fed, and I want to fellowship with community. But I want adjustments if I'm off track. You know, this last week, you know, in a certain CrossFit Nation workout, they're having the opens. And so Daniel, my coach, and he and I, we did the open, but we didn't do it in a gym. We did it in his gym. And we did the open. It's a certain workout that you do for people like me who are over 60 and people like him in his age. And we do these opens. It's to prepare yourself to go to the next level, next level, next level, to eventually you want to go to the games, okay? CrossFit Games National, world. So he said, now, Dad, you know, we're gonna do that workout, that open workout. And he said, so you're gonna have to adjust your fat, your calories, your carbs, and your protein. Because you're gonna want energy. And so you're doing too many carbs here, Dad, not enough protein there. What was he doing? He's giving minor adjustments so I could reach my goal. I want to know, and we log this stuff, so I want to know if I'm off in an area. I want to know if I'm about to go off the ditch. I want to know if the bridge is out in front. I want to know. And do you see what he says here? Everyone say, no faith. Okay, what were they moved by? They were moved by the storm. The disciples, followers, believers, Christians, they were moved by their circumstances. So when you and I, in our Christian walk, are moved by our circumstances, we need to remind ourselves, I have no faith. I have no faith. Notice he said that they were moved by the storm. They were terrified. They were moved by the circumstances. And folks, we are to walk by faith and not by what we see. So I have to remind, oh man, did you see this? Did you hear CNN? Did you hear Fox? Did you hear that? Did you hear this? Did you, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And look what around me, and the world, the whole world. If I'm moved by my circumstances, number one, mark it down. Uh-oh, I'm in a zone of no faith. That's why it's not working. Everyone say no faith is moved by their circumstances. Okay? All right? Number two, as the team comes out. Number two, look with me in Matthew 6, verse 25. And he said to them, take no thought. That means worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't what? Worry about your life. Don't what? Worry about your life. Let's go to verse 29. Just jump right on up to Matthew 6, verse 29. And he said unto them that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God will take care of the grass, and God will take care of everything else, how much more will he take care of you? Oh, ye that are of what kind of faith? Oh, so now it's no faith. You know you have no faith. Why ain't the word working for me? I was in church Sunday. Bless God. Because you're moved by your circumstances, lets you know you might have heard it, but you're not applying it. You got no faith. Number two, Jesus said, if I'm worrying about my job, worrying about my needs being met, worrying about my children, worrying about my health, he said, dude, you got little faith. Well, I go to church, been in the way. That's the problem, brother. You've been in the way. I go to church all the time, Pastor. Why isn't it working for me? Because evidently we aren't applying it. We may have a mental assent and know it, but are we walking it out? We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith has corresponding actions. You act like it's so when it ain't so. So it can become so. You with me, family? All right? So he said, if you're worrying about stuff, you got little faith. So what do I need to do? Not condemn ourselves. I just got to eat a little more carbs, a little less carbs, a little more fat. A little more, I just got to adjust myself for the workout, for the battle, for next week. I just got to make some adjustments. Am I helping anybody today? Making it practical, making it simple. This is how it works. So then you have the third, and we won't go there, but the third, just write it down, is it's Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. This is the centurion. Do y'all remember the centurion? And Jesus, he went to Jesus and he said, you know, my servant is sick. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. Watch this now. And the centurion said, I'm a man under authority. I know how authority works. And he said, Jesus, you don't got to come to my house. Jesus, all you have to do is speak the word, Bible, scripture. You'll never have God's provision without God's promises. Ooh, doggies. Well, I need some money. What are you speaking? I don't have no money. I don't have no money. I'm broke. I don't have no money. Folks, you'll never have money until you start speaking, but my God supplies all my need according to his riches. You'll never have the provision without speaking his promises, because all of his provision come through his promises. That's powerful. That was worth brushing your teeth, taking a shower, and coming to church right here, right there, right there, right there. How many Christians don't even have a Bible, don't even bring a Bible, don't even read the Bible, but bless God, it ain't working for me because you don't know the Bible and you're not living it out, walking it out, speaking it out. You got to speak a promise before you'll experience the provision of God. So he said, just speak the word. Just speak the word. And Jesus said, oh my goodness, I haven't seen so great faith. Great faith. Great faith in all of St. Peter's. Wow, so you have no faith. How do you know you got no faith? Man, I'm talking about the circumstances all the time. I'm moved by them. How do you know you got little faith? I'm just worried. Worry comes to all of us, folks, but you don't let it stay. If you're building your house on the rock. Great faith, what is that? If God said it, I'm going to speak it. If God said it, I'm going to speak it. I'm going to declare it. Until I see it. Now let me give you the formula, okay? I know I've gone over a little bit, but I wasn't here last week, so a double dabble do you, right? Brill cream. Sorry. Here's how it works. Here's how you become a doer of the word. Here's how it works. Number one, it's on the overheads for you. You have to start out hearing the word. Gotta start out hearing the word. I sure love you because you love the word. I know you do. Or you wouldn't come to this church. Hearing the word. Starts there. Hearing the word. And then watch this now. It goes from hearing the word to conceiving the word. No, Pastor. It goes from hearing to believing. No, it doesn't. I'm helping somebody right now. You'll never believe what God said before you see what God said coming to pass. You got to see it. We live in the show me state, Missouri. You got to see it before you can ever believe it. Here's how it works. If you can't see your life better, you can't believe for your life to get better. Years ago over there, we're really way back 30 years, I'd say to the ushers, "What's out for those TV cameras in the aisle way?" They'd look around like, "Man, what's Pastor smoking? What's he going, meth? What's he doing? Is he sick? Is he taking marijuana? Has he got a cold?" I shouldn't go there. What's going on? I was calling things that be not. And before we had a balcony, didn't even have a building with a balcony. I'd turn around, I'd say, "Turn around, wave to the people in the balcony." Guess what? Over in that building, we had a balcony. It was full on Sunday morning. What am I saying? Folks, first of all, you got to hear the word. And what happens is words create images. You know, Emo's Pizza. Ted Drew's Custard. Boy, I'm really into calories now. Praise God. Cat, dog, elephant, horse, Ferrari, BMW. Debt free. Cancel credit cards. Words create images. Until you get the image of what God said you could have, could be, could do on the inside, you can never believe it. You can never believe it. Pastor, I need a new car. Do you see yourself with it? Pastor, I need a better house. Do you see yourself with it? Pastor, I need a healing. Do you see yourself with it? Pastor, I'm tired of these credit cards. Do you see them paid off? You'll never have the faith to believe it to happen until you can see it happening before it happens. So it starts off with hearing, then it goes conceiving. You got an image on the inside. And then it goes from that. The next one is believing. Now you can believe. Remember the story in the Bible where Abraham couldn't believe and God pulled him out and said, "Look at the stars." God said, "Look at the sand." Then it says Abraham believed. You got to conceive it. Got to conceive it. That comes through the hearing process. Now you can believe it. And believing and speaking go together. Believing and speaking go together because whatever you're believing, you're speaking. So believing, and then next, what is it? Here's what we're looking for, receiving. This is how you build your life on the Word of God. This is how it works, and I sure do love you. Give God all the praise for His Word today, would you?